Okay, if you have a Bible with you, again, we want to encourage everyone to bring their physical Bibles, if you have one. And turn with me to Psalm chapter 53. Psalm chapter 53, we're going to read the whole chapter together. And again, follow along in the transparency or in your Bible. And after I read the six verses in Psalm 53, I'm going to say this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all repeat at the end by saying, thanks be to God, and then you could have your seat. If you could all rise, and online, if you could all rise, if you're able, if you could all rise, stand up for the reading of God's word. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 6. This is God's word to us this morning. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt, doing abominable iniquity. There's none who does good. God looks down from heaven on the children of man to see if there's any who understand, who seek after God. They have all fallen away. Together, they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Have those who work evil no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread, who do not call upon God? There they are in great terror, where there is no terror. For God scatters the bones of him who encamps against you. You put them to shame, for God has rejected them. Oh, that salvation for Israel will come out of Zion, when God restores the fortune of his people. Let Jacob rejoice, let Israel be glad. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. Let me pray one more time. Join me again online. Please join me one more time for prayer for the preaching of God's word. Please pray for me as we start. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we once again are here. We have read your word. I pray that you would open it. Open the truth about your son. Again, he is our only hope. The hope is not in us. May it never be. Salvation does not come from man. Salvation comes from heaven, out of Mount Zion. Teach us, show us clearly. May you not leave us to ourselves, I pray. Come and do a miracle. Change us, I pray, now. Help us. Do immeasurably more than we could ever imagine, according to the power and your glory. Come, I pray. Come with power through your truth. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your spirit in and through Christ. Amen. Again, we're continuing our series a couple more weeks through the Psalm called Christ in the Psalm. And now we're here in Psalm 53. And Pastor Peter is going to preach on Psalm 119, and then one more psalm, and then that will be it for the psalm for at least this point. In Psalm 53, there are actually two other parallel passages, including Psalm 53, Psalm 14, and Paul. Paul in the book of Romans also quotes this psalm. We'll look at that shortly. And when Paul unpacks this psalm, he adds a couple things to it. But remember, in the book of Romans, he is actually unpacking the full orb of what the gospel is. And then, as he is unpacking it and introducing the gospel, he says this, quotes this psalm. And before we get there, let me ask you a question. It says in verse 1, it says about this phrase, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Now, why do you think the one who denies the existence of God is a fool? Think about that. Why is that? That's not really a nice thing to say, is it? Someone who doesn't believe in God, there is no God. Some of you guys said they're atheists. Well, first of all, when someone says there is no God in his heart, this is not a mere mistake. It's not just a mere mistake of opinion. Like a person who's pretty convinced by science that there is no God, when actually there is one. No. Paul, when he unpacks and quotes this verse in the previous chapter, Paul makes it clear why the reason a person is a fool when they say there is no God is not merely a mistake. Look at what he says. Now, before we read Romans chapter 1, 18 to 23, this is how I think, and I think how you should think. I don't say something out there is true and then I try to fit that truth in the Bible. I never do that. I just don't. I know this is the truth, here is the truth, and whatever out there must fit the truth here. Okay? That's how I think. So I never ever question the Bible. I just don't. This is God's Word. God's Word is the truth. Look at what Paul says about man and their foolish hearts. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who by their unrighteousness suppress the truth. For what can be known about God is plain to them, because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been what? Clear. They know, it's been clear to them. Been clearly perceived ever since the creation of the world and the things that have been made, so they are without excuse. For although they knew God, see that? Everyone knows God. God says everyone knows God. It's clear. It's not confusing. It's not just a mere mistake of opinion. For although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened, claiming to be wise. They became fools, exchanging the glory of the immortal God for images resembling mortal men and birds and animals and creeping things. See what Paul says? See what God says? They're suppressing it. Have you ever tried to suppress an inflating plastic ball in a pool or in a body of water, in the ocean or Ontario Lake Beach? Someone try to do that? I tried to do that when I was a kid. I still try to do that when I'm an adult. You know, it's pretty hard. Try to take a ball, a plastic ball, inflate it, and try to put it underneath the water. It takes a lot of effort to keep it suppressed. Okay? I don't think I ever had it suppressed no longer than a few seconds, maybe 30 seconds. It takes work. You got to be at it. All the time, every day, suppressing what you know is true. That everyone knows God, and we suppress that truth. So it's not a mere mistake of opinion. It's an active, not a passive thing. Actively, every day, suppressing
There is no God.
And look at what he says, the second part. A fool says in his heart there is no God. In his heart. It's not just a mental thing. It's not just they lack evidence that there is a God. That's not true. There's ample plenty, more than plenty of evidences that God exists. It's not facts. It's not evidences. A fool says in his heart. What's a heart? It's not the organ. A heart is the person's desire. A fool says in his heart there is no God. It's not an evidence problem. It's not there is an evidences of the existence of God. When a fool says there is no God in his heart, it is a moral problem. Look at what he says, Paul, in our text, Romans 1, 18 to 23. He says, they exchanged, they suppress it, see? They don't want God. They don't desire God. They don't want anyone above themselves. They want to be God. See? Remember in Genesis? Why Adam and Eve sin? Satan says, don't you want to be like God? In charge? You don't want anyone in charge of you. Freedom! Charge of your own life. Don't you want that? Don't you want to be like God? So, they do not want God. It's not an evidence issue. It is because they desire other things. Replacing God, exchanging God for other things. It's an exchange that they do. And they do this all of their lives. They're not innocent. And I've heard many people say, how can God send innocent people to hell? You know? Pretty good people to hell. Baloney! That's only on the surface. God sees people's hearts. Their foolish, futile thinking, darkness in their minds and in their hearts. No one is innocent. No one. No man or woman is innocent. If you think they are innocent, Ben is pretty good, general. You're living in a bubble. And Paul continues in Romans chapter 3, when he's quoting Psalm 53 and Psalm 14, look at what he says. Look at it. Romans chapter 3, verses 10 to 12. No one is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks after God. Is that true, Paul? I always think that. I mean, everything, you know? No one seeks after God. I mean, plenty of people were seeking after God. They come to church, said they're interested in God. I mean, no one seeks after God. Paul, verse 12, it gets worse. What he says, all have turned aside, together they have become worthless. Really, Paul? Everyone is worthless? No one does good. I've seen plenty of people who are doing good things, right? Or worthy things. What is Paul talking about? I mean, is he mistaken? No one seeks, I mean, these are like, this is an absolute statement. No one seeks after God. No one does good. No, not one. Everyone is worthless. The only way for us to understand this is not to look at man to see if they're worthy or worthless, to see if they do good or they seek after God. To understand this is to start with God first, to see God. The word righteous None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. All have become worthless. The word righteous, and I've said this, I think, one time in the beginning when I came here. Anyone know what the word righteous means? Anyone participate? What's the word, another word for righteous? Anyone know? Shy? Right? Yeah! The word righteous means, from God's eye, you're straight. Okay? You're not tilted. That's unrighteous. Well, this is not really tilted, okay? Okay? The ruler is always straight. Okay? So this, the word, this righteous means straight according to what how God sees it. This is upright. You know, the word for righteous or straight means that you are, according to God, acceptable. You're accepted. You're not shunned. So you have to be righteous. No one righteous, no, not one. And the standard that God uses of righteousness is not your standard or my standard. He uses His standard, what He thinks it is righteous, what He thinks is a good person, what He thinks is good. And so what He does is He puts all of us, He has to, He will put this ruler on beside your life. Samuel's here, you put God's standard of acceptable or righteous, what a good person looks like, and you'll measure it, okay, against his life. And if his life is not straight, absolutely straight, if he's a little bit tilted, he is declared by God unrighteous, not acceptable. He is worthless. Now, that might be so kind of harsh. You think that's, you know, you don't say that to people. But look at how God looks at it, though. Remember a wall? Anyone an architect? I'm not an architect. I just read about this. And, you know, wall right here. You know, when they're building this wall, the wall and the roof has to be perpendicular to the floor. If it's not perpendicular to the floor, if the wall is tilted, even 1 degree, it becomes worthless. You got to tear it all down and rebuild a wall that is straight, that is useful, worthy of a roof. And that's how God thinks about it, about you and me. You don't define what righteous is. Often we do. What a good person is. What an acceptable person is. You know, we have all kinds of way how what an acceptable person is. Acceptable person is someone who obeys the law like 20% of the time, and then, no, disobeys the law 20% of the time, and obeys the law 80% of the time, right? That's pretty acceptable, right? I mean, 80%, it's not an F. And often we judge men like that. To God, that is not acceptable. To God, you have the 100%. That is acceptable. That is righteous. That is upright and straight according to God. So you see why Paul's, of course, he and David, they understand God. They understand what righteous person, an acceptable person looks like. It is has to be straight according to God. And they become worthy, not worthless. And in our passage in Psalm 53, it's pretty gloom. Verses 1 through 6, no one seeks after God. Paul makes it worse. They're all worthless. And then David and the psalmist and Paul says, the Bible says something different. Look at it. Look at verse Psalm 53. It looks pretty gloom. Like you got to see the gloominess of it, the hopelessness of it in man to become acceptable to God, to appreciate the good news, the gospel, salvation. Psalm 53, verses 1 through 5, pretty gloom, all fallen away, all are worthless, no one does good, no, not one, no one seeks after God, everyone is going to perish. And then in verse 6, it says this, oh, that salvation for Israel will come out of Zion. Now what is, that's weird. Salvation comes out of Zion. Now anyone know what Zion is? That salvation will flow out from this place called Zion. Well, Zion, Mount Zion, is the highest point, is two hills that the city of Jerusalem is placed. So Jerusalem is the highest point in that city. It's a mount. And David put the city of David. So Mount Zion is also the city of David, or Jerusalem. And he put the mount. And out of Zion comes salvation. Now, if you put it in the context of David, that's what David did. The nation of Israel was in complete, utter failure. It was pretty bad. It was pretty dark. Everyone, he says, after the book of Judges, everyone did what was fit in their own eyes. A bird's dung a bird's dung was sold for 6 shekels of silver, which is a lot. Bird's dung, bird's poop. It was pretty bad. They were in famine. And David comes and he brings salvation to the people of Israel. He sets up a capital city. He brings the Ark of the Covenant back. He sets up a government under God. He starts rebuilding the temple. They might have sacrifices, the whole temple ceremony. He defeats all the enemies. And he brings the glory days of Israel, David. David brings salvation to Israel. But look at what the Bible continues. I want to give you two quotes in the Bible. There are two Mount Zions. There's one that David put the capital city, a king. This won't be on the transparency, but Psalm chapter 2. I have Psalm chapter 2, verse 6. Listen carefully. It says, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. That's David. But look at Hebrews chapter 12, 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Talking to you and me, the church. Look what he says. But you, Christian, faith in Jesus Christ, but you, Christian, have come to what? Mount Zion. He's not talking about Jerusalem there, okay? In Israel right now. He's not talking about that. You have come to Mount Zion. To the, what is that? To the city of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. And to the innumerable angels' festal gathering. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Revelation chapter 14, verse 1. Then I looked, and behold, this is a prophecy, the vision that the Apostle John saw. Then I looked, and behold, on Mount Zion stood the Lamb, Jesus. What comes out? Oh, that salvation that will come out of Zion is that Jesus the Son will come. And just like his father David, what Jesus the King does, he comes from Mount Zion to earth so that he will lead God's people back to heaven, the heavenly Jerusalem. It is this King Jesus, the Son, who comes out of Mount Zion that will destroy all of your sins, all of his enemies, Satan, even this world that you and I so love to cuddle. Our lusts are for the things in this world. He will destroy all of it. It is this King Jesus. All that salvation will come out, will cause you to be God-centered. From the day you wake up to the day you go to bed, your life will be consumed with God Himself. He's committed to you, even now if you're a Christian. He's trying to change you so that you'll be not less you-centered, less this world-centered, more of God-centered. That's salvation. Oh, that salvation comes out of Mount Zion. It is this King Jesus that's building a kingdom. And He's building a kingdom through you, through the Spirit. And Jesus says, you will be doing greater things than I did. What a privilege that we'll work with Jesus in building a kingdom of God. Sinners like you and I. Oh, that salvation comes out of Mount Zion. It is this King Jesus that will cause you to love God, believe it or not, yes, with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, all that you have. You'll be completely devoted, 100%, to God and to love our neighbors as ourselves. That miracle is this King Jesus that will do that to us. Oh, that salvation that comes out of Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem. As we have sung in the last song, He's the only hope. You will perish in your sin. You will die in your sins if you do not have Jesus. It is a foolish person that will say, if King Jesus, God, is doing all these things, lead you to heaven, destroy all of your sin, if you want your sins to be destroyed, I want mine to be destroyed. I hate my sin. I hope you hate your sin. All Christians should be hating our sin. It's destroying us. It is this God who's going to make us God-centered. Is God going to build a kingdom? It is God who's going to cause you to love God with all your soul, heart, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. If God is doing all this, it is foolish. It is foolish for a man to say, there is no God. I can do all these things on my own. There is no hope. There is no hope of someone who so keeps suppressing that truth. There is zero hope for such a person. So I pray and I beseech you this morning and online, believe. I beg of you to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Your hope is only in Him, nothing else, so that you will be saved. Oh, that salvation that will come out of Mount Zion. And I pray that we will stay on the course of what God has started in your life. The salvation that we claim to believe and to have. God is trying to take you from this world, this broken world, and He's trying to take us to another world that He has already built. And take you there to live with your God forever. That salvation came out of Mount Zion. Let's pray.
Father in heaven, I pray that you would not only cause those who say there is no God a fool that says there is no God, but I pray that those who have started believe that there is God only through Jesus Christ, and I pray that you would cause them to stay on the course. May they not start the journey, and pray that they will not wander off. If they have wandered off the path of righteousness, oh Lord, I pray that you will bring them back to the path. Remind them that salvation is not in us, that salvation has come out from Mount Zion in the heavenly Jerusalem, in the person of Jesus, in the work of Jesus, so that we might have hope. And so, O Lord, help your church, help this church. Many who started off right often wander off, do all kinds of other ways. Oh Lord, may you not give them rest until you cause them, that they might return back into the path that leads to eternal life. Help us, I pray. Help us to repent. Cause us to repent. And turn from our sin. And turn back to Jesus, I pray. He is our only hope. He's the salvation that has come out of Mount Zion, oh God. Help us, oh Lord. Pray all this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ.